absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Yes, sir. Right now, that's what I'm doing. Hey, people, how you doing? 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I am JT, a.k.a. The Master. And, of course, this is The Master Plan. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220. It's the Fantasy Sports Casino Hotline.com. Excuse me. FantasySportsCasino.com hotline, where winners win and players play. Use that line to call in to tell me what you have to say. It's on a fine, crispy Sunday morning. It's a few weeks from the regular baseball season that's going to begin. Fantasy baseball drafts are happening as we speak. My esteemed colleague, Vince Gardner, a.k.a. Mr. FSP, was here holding it down last Sunday and talking about fantasy baseball. I'm going to do the same today, this morning. I'm also going to be talking about a little NFL free agent news that's happening in the last 24 hours. So I want to talk about that also. I also want to talk about a trade that Mr. FSP and I, we had a draft yesterday afternoon on the 1 o'clock show, FSP show. For those who have tuned into that, you knew we were doing a live draft as we were doing the program. And we drafted the whole program, talking about each other's picks and talking about some of the picks that our fellow team league members were making. But after that, I conversed with Mr. FSP, Vic, via text and actually on a phone call to see if he was interested in swapping some players via trade. And he was. So we decided to banter back and forth as we always do, as we've been doing over the years, and anytime we do any kind of transactions, be like a trade. And we came to a mutual conclusion of who would get what. I offered it to Vic. He accepted it. And I'm going to lay it out sometime in this show. So sit back, relax. If you like to post a message or get on the chat room, you can also do that. The chat room's open for your convenience. Lay a question, a comment, or make a statement if you like. Hold on a minute. Excuse me while I clear my throat here. And put it on the chat room, and we'll address it. Remember, what you put in there is what you're going to get out of it. So you got the number. You're sitting back in your chair. Hope you're comfortable. Don't fall asleep on me. But you can always, if you do fall asleep and you miss any part of the show, you can also check it on the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. And you can listen to this program, or you can listen to past programs if you want to catch one of our other three programs that we have. Quite naturally, I mentioned the 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Saturday, which is the FSP show, hosted by Vic and co-hosted by myself. And this show, Master Plan, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then also on Thursday, we have the FSP Cruise Show, which happens to be a spinoff, quite naturally, from the FSP show. I host that show along with two of my esteemed hosts, co-hosts, I should say, Mike Wright, a.k.a. Black the Bookie, and Jeff Goldberg, a.k.a. Jeff the Joker. So, we hold it down. And then at 1 o'clock, excuse me, and that's 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on a Thursday night. And at 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we have a Edge type of show. It's really a no-holds-barred, hence the name No Chaser. Just straight, gives it to you straight, and as you can understand, just like a drink, just like a actual drink. Pour the whiskey, no chaser. Pour the vodka, no chaser. Pour the gin, no chaser. No chaser is what it's all about. I'm the co-host of that show. The host of that show is Mac Williams, and believe me, that's no chaser. That is a no-holds-barred show. Anything goes on that show. Block Talk Radio, people, we're not holding it down. This is an acid. This is if any of our four programs were an adult program with adult language, this is one that is it. 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on a Friday night. Like I said, Mac Williams is the host. I am the co-host of that show. Mac being an independent, mainly leaning to the right. I being what they call a liberal, if you want to put it that way, meaning I like to say I'm pretty in the middle, but according to Mac, I lean to the left, which is fine. So you know we bring the heat when we get into controversial issues that have to do with everyday living. Anyway, let's get back to this show, which happens to be, as you know, the one I'm on right now, and we're going to be talking about the subjects in hand I told you about. But first, we'll be right back.
If you're into fantasy sports, you're going to love the Fantasy Sports Show with host Victor Gardner and co-host Jerry and Black every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. This show is so hot, I can only play the intro.
Fantasy Sports and Policy.
You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. The Fantasy Sports Show. Information, motivation, variety.
All right, people, I'm back. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Let's talk about this. Like I said, I was going to talk about some NFL news first because there's some things that happened over the last 24 hours that are going to impact quite naturally some teams and also the NFL and divisional landscape, along with fantasy. It's getting very interesting here. It's getting very, very interesting, people. Extremely interesting. Now, Let's go this way first. All right? They lost Eric Decker to the Jets. Well, the Denver Broncos, they're richer getting richer. Now, this is a very extremely interesting sign-up for the Denver Broncos. The Denver Broncos agreed to a deal with Emmanuel Sanders. And people, you're saying, Emmanuel Sanders, what the heck, why is that so significant? Well, Emmanuel Sanders, people, is a speed burner. He's got better speed than Eric Decker ever had, okay? It's an ideal landing spot for his fantasy value. But, I mean, he probably won't be higher than the fourth option in the passing game. But he's got a strong chance to get 8 touchdowns, probably close to 800 yards, and probably probably 80 catches, give or take, as much as the Broncos run the ball. Just think about what Eric Decker did as the number 3 receiver. Now, you got Demaryius Thomas there. You got Wes Welker there. You got Julius Thomas as a tight end now. But you don't have the speed that Emmanuel Sanders had. So go ahead and double-team Demaryius Thomas. Go ahead and try to shut down Wes Welker. Guess who you got on the other side that got blazing speed? Emmanuel Sanders doing a 9 going down the sidelines with Peyton Manning thrown to him. That's got big play written all over it. Not to mention what they also acquired on the defensive side. And if you stay abreast of football, you know the rich got richer. So I'm not even going to go there for that. But the don't do this to me. Don't do this to me. But you have to understand something. That the offense is going to be lights out. And this is a big improvement over, in my opinion, this is a big improvement over Eric Decker. Big improvement over Eric Decker for the simple reason of the speed factor. This kid is not afraid to go over the middle because he's done it before. And he's got a ton of speed, which is going to, and I've said that before, but it's going to improve the Denver Broncos and stretch the field even that much more. The Broncos will be even that much more of a threat. All right? Now let's go to the Carolina Panthers. They got one of their division rivals' mainstays that he got released. He's an older guy. He's 31. He can't cover, but he's still passable in the box safety. I'm talking about Roman Harper. They signed to Carolina. Now, that's significant because he's a division rival going to, and he's going to be able to do a help the back end of that defense. They lost Captain Munnerlin. Roman Harper, I'm not saying he's an exact replacement for that, but they did replace him with somebody, an old Wiley veteran. Let me put it that way. Then what's going on, we finally got a running back of note, and probably the best running back on the market, that finally landed with a team. And I'm telling you, and I keep on saying this, I said it last week, last year, with the Detroit Lions, and I'm going to say it this year with the Cleveland Browns. And this is only March, and I'm saying it in March right now with the Cleveland Browns. They're, they improved their defense. They're doing. They changed the coaching staff. They're going to be. They're doing things to improve their offense. They got a stud tight end. They got a stud receiver. I gotta believe this kid can stay healthy. He's going to be a dynamite back. Talking about the ex-Houston Texan. Unfortunately, he has health issues over the years, including the first year he got into the league. Ben Tate, which was the number one running back on a lot of people's boards, that was a free agent, has landed with the Cleveland Browns. And I was hoping that the Rev Fantasy would come on here, because he's a Cleveland Brown fan. I wanted to get his thoughts on the landing of Ben Tate to the Cleveland Browns. He signs a 2-year contract, which is worth up to $7 million. I think it's probably built in with a lot of incentives, because the fact is he's a type of guy that can't stay running back, can't stay healthy. He goes from a what Gary Kubiak, who's a used to coach with used to be under Mike Shanahan, and they ran a zone blocking scheme in Houston. Well, he's going to Cleveland, and guess who's the offensive coordinator? And used to be a assistant coach, an offensive coordinator under Mike Shanahan, Kyle Shanahan. And what does Kyle Shanahan and the Shanahan philosophy run in the offense? Zone blocking scheme. So this kid, he's going to something that he knows like the back of his hand. The only thing he's got to do is stay healthy. That's the only thing he's got to do. So I got to believe that they got rid of Jason Campbell. They got rid of Brandon Whedon. They have Brian Horrig coming back from a ACL. So you know, people, you know, they're going after one of these so-called first-round draft pick quarterbacks, either Johnny Manziel, Teddy Bridgewater, or Blake Bortles. Now, me, I don't think any of these guys are first-round picks, in my opinion. I think, but that's okay. That's okay. Because, and you know what they're going to do. They're going to run the ball, they're going to run the ball, they're going to run the ball, play good defense. Because Cleveland defense is one of the better defenses, believe it or not, people, in the NFL and in fantasy, believe it or not. It was the offense that had issues. Offense that had issues. So this is a heck of a signing for the Browns. Not to say that they're not going to draft another running back, because they definitely need running back to shore up Ben Tate, because he's not the most reliable running back to stay healthy during the regular season. So let's move on to another significant signing, or a signing that makes a lot of sense. It happens to be a former Giant. I'm not a big Giant fan, but he happens to be a former Giant. Talking about Hakeem Nicks, he agreed to a 1-year, $3.5 million deal. Now, I had talked to Victor, whatever program, I think Victor or on the FSP Crew show on Thursday, one of the two shows, over the last three weeks at least, that I felt Hakeem Nicks would have to sign a 1-year deal, which is the show me deal. Show me that you can stay healthy for a season before we can give you a multi-year contract, a multi-year deal. And this is what it is. He's getting $3.5 million, and it's a show me deal. And the deal reportedly contains an extra $2 million in incentives. So it's always unlikely Nicks left Indianapolis without a deal. Still only, I shouldn't say that. So you figured that he didn't have too many options. Otherwise, if teams thought he was worth just a 1-year type of deal like this, $3.5 million with $2 million in incentives, they would have been clamoring for him. And he's got a ton of talent, but he can't stay healthy. And if his heart is in it, the Colts will provide Knicks the offense and the opportunity to reemerge as a fantasy-relevant wide receiver. He's got T.Y. Hilton and Reggie Wayne coming back from T.Y. Hilton, who's healthy. He had a shoulder problem, but it really didn't hinder his play. But Reggie Wayne is coming back from a ACL. So T.Y. Hilton, Reggie Wayne, and Hakeem Nix. And that offense is going to be able to move around in the formation, and he's going to have to show something to the Indianapolis Colts, like I said, if he wants to get a long-term deal in next year. Then we have, and this is interesting, they got Revis already. Now they got Brandon Browner. I'm talking about the New England Patriots getting Brandon Browner, hard-hitting, tough, long, lean cornerback. Man, oh, man, talking about shoring up over two signings. Your cornerback position moving up, man. He got a 3-year, $17 million contract. So that's annually about a little over $5.5 million, and that's among the top seven cornerbacks in the league in terms of average salary. Now, he's going to be suspended for the first four games, but will start opposite Darrell Revis when he gets reinstated. And like I said, the Patriots have drastically improved their secondary this offseason and plan to run a physical man-to-man scheme with Browner and Revis. No kidding. Wow. All I can say is wow. Patriots on the back end have improved their defense immensely. Immensely. These guys are big-time players. These are no slouches, people. That's what I'm saying. These signings are really relevant in the NFL and also in fantasy. You have to think about now. A team that's going up against the Patriots and in the passing game, you're going to have a problem. You're going to have a problem being effective in the passing game with two big-time corners sitting back there just waiting for a quarterback to make a mistake. And I said this before, and I'm saying it again, and I'll keep on saying it again, because this is the copycat league. I said it over and over again. It's a copycat league. These teams saw what the Seattle Seahawks did with good defense against one of the best offenses in NFL history, one of the best ones, okay? And it completely annihilated, shut them down. Well, the formula is out there. The New Orleans Saints already said they're going to run the ball. They're going to get back to running the ball more versus passing it all over the place. Now, they're still going to be passing it, don't get me wrong. But the foundation is there. And I've always said, and I keep on saying it, I'll keep on saying it until people start listening in fantasy. When all these people were drafting quarterbacks a couple of years back, or even last year, two seasons back, three seasons back, were starting to draft quarterbacks in the first round. Some people stay true to drafting running backs. Some people even went to wide receivers in the first round. I'm staying true to my what I preach. Running backs. In my opinion, there is no way in a 12-team league that if there's 12 number one running backs out there that you don't draft a running back. No way. The next one, if you don't draft a running back, you draft a wide receiver. But there's going to be a plethora of wide receivers. There's going to be a plethora of quarterbacks. You have to understand this. And I'm getting off on a tangent, but I gotta do this because I'm gonna keep on saying this all the way up until fantasy season and the first game to try to drive this point home. During the season, running backs are probably the most skilled position that gets beat up. Most because when they get the ball, they take a pounding. Quarterbacks, yeah, they get especially with mobile quarterbacks. But for the most part, running backs. You see a lot of running backs go down. So wouldn't it make sense in fantasy to get a number one running back and to load up on mainly running backs because they take the most pounding and they're the most of the four skill positions, running back, wide receiver, quarterback, tight end, to get hurt on a more regular basis than the other three skill positions in fantasy. So you grab your running back in the first round. In my opinion, you grab your running back in the second round. In my opinion, and I may do this year, I may even go as deep as the third round to grab three running backs because there's so many wide receivers out there. And especially if you're in a PPR league, you're going to get a decent wide receiver, okay? Now, I may be stretching it going into the third round, looking for a decent running back, but because the running back position takes a pounding, and these guys get hurt, like I said, more often than wide receivers, tight ends, and quarterbacks, the need for running backs is great. And you always wait on your quarterback. I said it last year. I've been saying it for years. Because the fact is this. Most people, when they draft a quarterback, they draft because they want to get big points from the quarterback. Okay? Well, that's good and bad. It's good because you're getting big points from the quarterback. But what happens if he has a bad game? And you're relying mainly on that quarterback to help you carry you over the top. When you have two running backs and most of the time two wide receivers and a tight end, and maybe if you have a flex position, okay? So that means either you have three running backs if you have a flex or three wide receivers and you have a flex. You only have one quarterback position, okay? So why load up on a quarterback in the first or second round when you can get a decent quarterback in the later rounds, may not be as prolific as that one or two round quarterback, but you're getting top tier running backs that are going to make up the points and put you over the top, and you're going to be balancing out your team better than relying on your quarterback. Sorry about that, people. I apologize. Technical difficulties. Anyway, like I was saying, you wait on your quarterback, and you load up on your skill positions, meaning the two main skill positions. First, your running backs, then your wide receivers, and then tight end, unless you can get a prolific tight end before you get your second wide receiver. But in my opinion, you got to load up on your skill positions, mainly your running backs first. And I said, think about this. You have to balance your team out. So if your quarterback has a bad day, your running backs and your wide receivers can carry you. You have more wide receivers and quarterbacks on your roster than you have. I mean, more wide receivers and running backs on your roster, starting roster. Then you have a quarterback. You have one quarterback for the most part. So wouldn't it make sense to wait on your quarterback, balance out your team with strong running backs and wide receivers, so you don't have to rely on just one position to shoulder the majority of the points. Now, it's fine if your quarterback has a big day. Your running backs don't really have to have a big day, and your wide receivers don't have to have a big day. But if you balance it out, then you're not really relying on one position. So you get your running backs first. They're the most brittle of all the skill positions. Then you get your wide receivers, along maybe a sprinkled in it with a tight end if he happens to fall to you, a decent tight end. Then you worry about getting your quarterback. There's so many good quarterbacks here. I want a league, and this is the God's honest truth. I want a league. I could have won two leagues, but I made a mistake. Could have won two more leagues, but I made a mistake in the quarterback position. I took a chance, and I shouldn't have. Anyway, I won a league with Ben Roethlisberger. Okay? But because I had a strong running back and wide receivers along with a tight end, Ben Roethlisberger, he could have had he had a pretty good season, but he had decent numbers in the 20-25 range, 15-20 range, which is decent for a quarterback. But my running backs and my wide receivers were very strong. Okay, so I didn't have to have a strong quarterback. And if you draft early in fantasy, then you're behind the eight ball trying to get a decent running back and a wide receiver because you grabbed the quarterback way too early, like in the first round or in the second round, because a lot of people like to get those named quarterbacks, Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, not so much Tom Brady, Cam Newton, things like that, okay? Well, you don't have to. You can wait. There's going to be more decent quarterbacks later on this season. So think about that. Anyway, getting away from that. Let me get back to what I was talking about. The landscape is really going to change. A lot of these teams are going to be a lot stronger than you think. And this is a statistical fact. Every season, there's at least 5 to 6 teams that were in the playoffs last season, this past playoff season, that won't make it this playoff season, and vice versa, the teams that weren't in there that are going to be in there. So there's a changeover of 6 teams. On average, 5 to 6 teams of teams that don't make the playoffs and teams that get into the playoffs. That only makes sense, the teams that don't make the playoffs. So 5 teams that didn't make the playoffs last season, 5 or 6 teams, they won't make the playoffs this season. So some of these teams that were close or obscure teams, and I'm saying it for the simple fact, not because it's my team, but because of the simple fact, the team that I'm about to talk about, these two teams I'm about to talk about, made a dramatic change and made a strong run in the playoffs, and were in the playoffs and had a very good season. I'm talking about the Houston Texans. The year before, were in the playoffs with a double-digit record, win record, that didn't make the playoffs this past season, had a horrible season, and were 2-14. Well, the year before that, the season before that, the Kansas City Chiefs, ironically, both these teams have Kansas City season back last year about this time, had the number one pick because they were 2-14, and my Houston Texans this year have the number one pick because they're 2-14. And Kansas City made the playoffs, quite naturally changed the coaching staff. Ironically, Houston has changed the coaching staff. Kansas City was 11-5 and got into the playoffs as the fifth seed or whatever it was. And I do believe Houston's going to be one of those teams that are going to get into the playoffs because they have the talent to do that. So that's what's my Meaning what I'm saying that is that that's at least one team that I know that didn't make the playoffs, had a horrible season, get the number one pick, and going to be looking for a quarterback, just like Kansas City did, looking for a quarterback, having to grab Alex Smith from the San Francisco 49ers. And we'll have to wait and see what the Houston Texans are going to do about the quarterback position because they're looking for a quarterback. If they draft a quarterback number one, Kansas City didn't do that. They went the veteran route. And then we'll see what happens with the, like I said, with the Houston Texans. The only reason I bring that up is because the way that seasons change from one to the next with teams. So that's the only reason why I'm bringing that up. Because the fact is that the landscape can change dramatically from one year to the next. So anyway, let me see if that's all the NFL. I got too much into the NFL. Like I thought, I got 20 minutes left. Oh, yeah, this is another significant one, all right? I got to mention this because this is big. Ravens agreed to terms with wide receiver Steve Smith. He signed a three-year deal worth $11.5 million. That's a $3.5 million signing bonus. And that's not too far from North Carolina, where his base is. He's 35. He's lost a few sets, but is extremely it's quite natural. You know, he's got an extremely sure pair of hands, and he's still able to make plays against tight coverage. He's got a passion for the game that's matched by no other. But that gives Joe Flacco, besides Dennis Pitta coming back strong after the knee injury that he had, now he'll be even that much stronger. Now you've got Dennis Pitta, you got Torrey Smith on one side, and you got Steve Smith on the other. That's a nice combination to throw to with Ray Rice, hopefully healthy along with his backup. The landscape for the Baltimore Ravens and the AFC North is going to be extremely interesting with the Ravens, the Pittsburgh Steelers, Cleveland Browns, and the Cincinnati Bengals. I would not want to be playing against one of those teams. Those teams are gearing up to be pit bulls fighting in a ring. Any time that AFC North gets together, it's pit bulls fighting in a ring. I can see that happening right now. And I have to say, this is going to be an exciting year because a lot of teams are making smart moves. And we haven't even gotten to the draft. And these free agents, and like I said before, there's a hell of a lot of talent of free agents. I mean, hell of a lot of free agent talent that was out there. And it seems like they're moving to ideal spots to maximize their abilities. And these teams seem like they're doing extremely smart moves. And I can't see, I can't recall off the top of my head a move that's been made by these teams that's a head scratcher, except for maybe Darren Sproles being moved. Otherwise than that, I really can't think of a move teams made that say, why did they do that? I mean, a lot of these teams have improved on offense and defense dramatically. It was either a signing or multiple signings. T.J. Ward, DeMarcus Ware. To the Broncos. Now you got Emmanuel Sanders on the offense. That's people. Those three right there. That's huge. They greatly improved their defense. Greatly improved their defense. And along with Aqib Talib in Denver, they greatly improved their backside and frontside defense. And they added addition by subtraction, Eric Decker goes. And Eric Decker was a big, tall wide receiver, but this guy's got immense speed. Emmanuel Sanders is going to stretch the field. Peyton Manning's going to love him. Anyway, we got about 17 minutes or so left in the show. I apologize. The number to call in is 347-637-3220, 347-637-3220. Call in on the Fantasy Sports Casino hotline. I'll say that again. You can call in on the FantasySportsCasino.com hotline and talk to me about any subject in fantasy, basketball, baseball, football. But I'm going to talk about baseball now. All right, people. We had a nice draft, civil draft, which is fine. We had a civil draft. Yesterday afternoon on the show. And I think I drafted a pretty decent team. I really did. Now, I'm just going to go down my team real quick of who I drafted. Let me do this real quick so I can draft picks. Let me do this here. I'll do this. What the heck is that? Draft results. My team. Okay, there it is. All right. All right, here we have it. And I have to look at these teams, and me being on this fantasy sports baseball fantasy league, I had the number 3 and the number 4 pick. The reason I had 2 back-to-back picks in fantasy is because I made a deal with Victor. We did a trade of picks before the draft. I got the one, his one, which is the 4th pick in the first round, his 4th round pick, and his 7th round pick, and I gave to him my 2nd, which means he had 2 picks in the 2nd round, my 3rd, he had 2 picks in the 3rd round, and my 5th, so he had 2 picks in the 5th round. And this is how I drafted. In the first round, for my first 2 picks, which were the 3rd and 4th pick, Andrew McCutchen and then Clayton Kershaw. Now, I preached before, and I went against I decided to go this route because I knew I didn't have a second and a 3rd round pick. So my first 2 picks, one of them was my 2nd round pick, okay, and the other one was my and I wouldn't be picking again until the 4th round with 2 4th round picks. So this is what I decided to do. I took Andrew McCutchen with my 3rd pick. Since I didn't have a 2nd round pick, I knew I had Paul Goldschmidt I could have picked up. I could have picked up Chris Davis. Could have picked up Carlos Gonzalez if I wanted to. Ryan Braun, Robinson Cano, Haley Ramirez. Because those picks that went after me, okay. But I didn't. I decided to go this route because I knew I had a plan of what I wanted to do and. I was very happy with in my next 2 picks, but I went with Clayton Kershaw for my 4th pick. all right, because I wanted to get a dominant pitcher. And because I didn't have a second, third, and fifth round pick, I had to move things up a little bit on what I wanted to do. So that's what I did. With my third pick, which was in the fourth round, I had two back-to-back picks because I had two at the 37th and 38th pick. I took Jose Reyes, and then right after that, I said, you know what? I like this kid too, and he's going to give me the same speed and power. I took Jose Reyes, 37, and took Gene Segura right behind Segura from Milwaukee, right behind him. Two shortstops. The reason being is they're going to give me on-base percentage. They're going to give me hits. They're going to give me stolen bases. Both these guys are going to definitely give me at least 20 to 30 stolen bases right there, at least those guys, along with Andrew McCutchen. So I got guys that can get on base and also steals. So I wanted to get those two guys. Then I come back in the fifth round, my fifth pick, which would be the seventh round because I didn't have a fifth round pick. This would be my sixth round pick. So I picked up Alan Craig. Steady hitter, multiple positions, first base, left field, right field. I had him last year, and I love this guy. He's a hit machine, but he's a 300 hitter, decent in RBIs, doesn't steal bases, but I picked him up. Then after that, this guy, in my opinion, is very underrated, but he moved from the Chicago White Sox to the Texas Rangers. He's going to play in right field for the Texas Rangers. I'm talking about Alex Rios, who can hit for power, for average, and also he can steal a few bases for me. I went that route. My next pick, which was in the, there's 6, 7, which was in the eighth round. My next pick was Gio Gonzalez. Solid pitcher with strikeouts to back up with Clayton Kershaw. After that, I got my catcher. I had this guy last year, steady catcher, on one of the most, right along with Alan Craig, one of the most best offenses in all of baseball. Another solid, very solid catcher, Yadier Molina. Then in the ninth, my next pick. Now this I took a reach on, but I gotta believe I got him at the 84th pick. I can't believe he dropped down that far. I can't believe his value dropped down that far, and I had to take him. Matt Kemp of the Los Angeles Dodgers. I took him with the 84th pick. Come on. You got to be kidding me. Okay. I thought that was a decent way to go. Then I had this guy. He's always reliable, the Panda, Pablo Sandoval for the third base. And some of these players I had last year. This another guy, old reliable, big dime doubles hitter, and he does hit for power, and he's only getting better. He's Kansas City's first baseman with the 104th pick, Billy Butler. On my first baseman, and then I go down here with Dominic Brown for the left field. I'm taking a flyer on him. I think he had a good season last year. I think he'll build on that. Another underrated player that has stole over 20 bases last year, hits close to 300, carries multiple positions. Doesn't have a big time name, but he's a steady player in my opinion. Daniel Murphy, first base, second base. In this league, he has multiple positions, so I grabbed him. Now I made a mistake and I always tell you to do your research. I didn't do my research on this guy. And I picked him up, and immediately after I picked him up, they let it be known on the message board that, you dummy, you picked up a guy that may need Tommy John surgery. So, needless to say, I did drop him. One of the guys that helped the Yankees be who the Yankees were last year, with the, probably the most steady of the pitchers on the pitching staff, I pick up Hiroki Kuroda. This guy is very underrated. I know he's not a big-time name, but he's on a team that wins a lot and gets a lot of offense. I'm talking about Lance Lynn. Then I got a guy I think that's on the upswing. I think this guy is an up-and-comer. He's on a Tampa Bay Rays. Chris Archer, young kid, throws hard. I think he's going to surprise people this year. So I'm taking, when I go down here, I'm taking flyers on guys. And Chris Archer, and then my next one, Matt Garza, said he wants to rip the guts out of his team when he meets him. And he's in the same division because he's in with the Milwaukee Bucks now. Milwaukee Brewers now. So playing against the Chicago Cubs. So I took a shot on Matt Garza. I had Howie Kendrick. He's pretty solid. He's not an overwhelming second baseman, but he's solid, and he's on a surrounded by a lot of big time thumpers. Okay, in the Los Angeles Angels. Jose Veras moved over from Houston to Chicago as the closer, so I needed a closer, and I picked him up. Zach Wheeler should be the New York Mets starting pitcher, should be the so-called ace because of Matt Harvey not being there. And I picked up Zach Wheeler with my 204th pick, which was the 204th pick. I took a flyer on a left fielder in Milwaukee who's on the upswing. I took a flyer on him. Chris, spelled with a K, Davis, left fielder from Milwaukee. And my last pick, he starts and he relieves. Why he was still this far down, I don't know. But I like this kid. He's going to do a few things this season. Last year, he pitched in 31 games. He pitched 77 innings, had 77 strikeouts. His whip was a little high. His ERA was 3.13, which is okay. He pitches for the Atlanta Braves. I'm talking about Alex Wood. So my team is not a overwhelming team, but it's got solid guys on there that I think are going to be able to contend. I also concluded a trade with Vic, and I traded Yadier Molina and Alan Craig, and I picked up Joey Votto. I picked up Matt Wieters to make up for Yadier Molina, even though he's not the same caliber, but he does have power, even though he hits for less average. And also picked up Fernando Rodney. So I like my team a lot. We'll have to wait and see what happens. The first matchup in my league is I'm not sure when the first game, week one. Would be week one would be March 22nd. Oh, it starts next week. So we'll see what happens with my first week. You know what? This is what I'm going to do. Sunday, every matchup starts on a Monday. Even though this week it's going to be an extended, 2 weeks. First matchup is going to start on March 22nd and end on April 6th. I'm going to let you know the status each week of my fantasy baseball team, how I'm doing, if I did any trades or any kind of transactions. I'm going to do that each week. Starting next week with fantasy baseball. to keep you abreast on how well I'm doing. You know the team I drafted. You know the first hint, the trade I made. If you have any comments on my trade or whatever else on the show, email me. My email address is J as in the letter J, Taylor, T-A-Y-L-O-R, 342 at Comcast.net. Just drop me a line, tell me you're a screw-up, you're a dummy, you don't know what you're doing, or keep up the good work, or whatever you want to say in the email, but email me. You know, I have a Twitter handle, or you can even Facebook me at Jerry Taylor, J-E-R-R-Y-T-A-Y-L-O-R, FSP Crew Show or FSP Show. Email me. I mean, Facebook me. Or I have a Twitter handle, but I usually I'm not a real big Twitter guy, but my Twitter handle is at MagicMan1954. Okay? I know. Yeah, I know. Where did I get that from? Whatever. It is what it is. At MagicMan1954. Drop me a line. Tell me if I'm a screw-up. Tell me, or give me, if you want to give me some advice, some suggestions, you know, I'm open to all that. I'm not above getting advice or suggestions. I'll take a look at it, see if it makes sense. I may even implement it, and I'll give you props on whoever you are. If it makes sense and I implement it and it works out, it is what it is. All right? With that being said, tune in next week. Same place, same time, same guy. I'll be out here trying to do my best to do what I do. And with that being said, tune in to Thursday, which is 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'll be back hosting along with my two co-hosts, Jeff the Joker and Black the Bookie, on the FSP Cruise Show at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We'll be talking about the news and notes of fantasy sports and politics. And you never know what maybe a special guest will drop by. You never know. But until then, I'll start the show, excuse me, I'll end the show as I started the show, On Top by Rick James with The Temptations. See you next week.